ever since I've been up here. Oh, the love, the love, the love. You know, I love that song. I absolutely love it. Because we live in a world today that people say it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe it. But I believe in the ultimate truth. I believe in the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father except through Him, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is why we're here today. But as if you notice by the picture that's on the screen right now, rooted, growing deep, living tall. The title of my message today is Deeply Rooted. And if you had turned to Psalm chapter 1, it's just a few verses in this psalm, but I find it very interesting that David starts his psalm. The entire book starts with this one chapter and what he says in this chapter. So if you'd please stand as you turn to chapter 1 of Psalm. And this is what it says. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for the fact that we can stand on absolute truth in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what we read David write here in this chapter and what it takes to be a righteous man. And in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. First thing I want to look at today is what a righteous man does not do. David starts out this chapter and in this psalm with saying that blessed is the man. And then he goes on and says, what he does not do. So let's take a look at that. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. I believe the King James Version says, sit in the counsel of the ungodly. The word blessed here, it speaks to the happiness and contentment in the life of the person who is right or straight with God. Now, this Hebrew word that's translated blessed is Esher, E-S-H-E-R. Please don't ask me to put the and all that stuff that they use in Hebrew. I can't do it. I get choked up every time I try. But the word is E-S-H-E-R, Esher. Esher. And it is the idea of happiness or contentment. It is derived from the word Asher, A-S-H-E-A-R, which is the root word for that actually means straight. Now you think about this. In Proverbs it says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Same word. Okay? So, this idea here is that the happiness that we find is based upon not only what we do, but based also upon what we do don't do. And what David is saying here as he's writing this is he's saying that God will make us happy if we follow His path, if we trust Him, if we completely commit to Him. Does that blessing, that word blessed, and the idea of happiness, does that determine upon what we're going through at that time? Does it say it's based on our consequences? Does it say it's based upon our health? No. Our blessedness, our happiness is fully connected to where we stand in our relationship with Jesus Christ or God, regardless of what else is going on in our life. Okay, so we have to understand that. But it is based upon what we do and what we don't do. Okay? What this verse is saying is that there is a way that the righteous man will walk, a path he will not stand in, and a seat he will not sit in. Well, what does that mean to us? Because that doesn't really make sense. When we actually get down to think about it, that there's a way that we won't walk, there's a way we won't talk, there's a way we won't stand in, and a place we won't sit. Well, what is actually meant by that? Well, here is the righteous man. What it means is this, is that the righteous man and the ungodly man are very different. In fact, Paul says that we are made a new creation. When we accept Jesus Christ, that we become part of the righteous and that we are made a new creation. We are made a new creature. We are not the same as we used to be. We do not live that same old life any longer. We are not the old man. We are something new, and we are made new by the power of the Holy Spirit when within our lives the moment we accept Jesus Christ. The person you were, these young ladies that just got baptized today, the person they were, even at six, eight, Evie's what, eight, nine? Nine. Ooh, she's getting old. Okay. Kira's eight, 9 years old. It's hard to fathom this in those two young ladies' lives, but the person they were the moment they talked to Chad, the moment they prayed to accept Jesus Christ into their heart, they are different now. That split second that it took for them to ask Christ to come into their heart and become Lord of their life, that changed them permanently. That 8 and 9 year old are totally different now than they were 3 or 4 weeks ago. So look at this. They're different. The righteous man and the ungodly man are different in how they think, how they behave, and to whom they belong to. I always remind my kids when I would drop them off at college and get ready to leave, or they went out, even with Jonathan going to the Navy and Casey moving to Florida this past week, I told them, remember who you belong to and act like it. Okay? That's what this is talking about. Our entire behavior changes. We don't do things the same way that we used to do. And the righteous man, the person that belongs to Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't do things the same way. So what does the righteous man do? Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. A righteous man is delighted in the word of God. A righteous man is delighted in the word of God. Well, what does that mean? That you get giddy and happy when you read the Bible? It's not what it's talking about. I want to ask you this question. What makes you happy? I'll tell you one thing that I am extremely excited about. Somebody said something smart over here. It's probably my daughter. This is what I'm extremely excited about. Okay? Is that Friday night, high school football starts again in Cleveland County. You were right. And then on top of that, that Saturday, college football starts. I am thrilled beyond belief. But you know what? My life doesn't revolve around college football. Even though I love it, my life doesn't revolve around high school football, even though I love it. Deep down, whether or not it's football season or it's not football season, that's not really what makes me happy. I am thrilled that we only have a few more weeks of summer, because this summer has been miserable hot. I am ready for the leaves to start changing. I'm ready to be able to start being cool and not sweating every time I open the door. I am ready for hunting season. I'm ready for fall. I'm ready for snow. I'm ready for it all. But that doesn't make me happy. Even though I enjoy it, it doesn't make me happy. So what is it that makes you happy in your innermost being? What is it that you can't live without? Well, the scripture says right here that the righteous man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And what we have to understand is this, is that in the Old Testament, and especially in Psalms, that anytime it refers to the law of the Lord, it's meaning the Word of God in its entirety. It's not just referring back to the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Torah. It's not the law in its actual sense. He's talking about the very Word of God. So he's saying that his delight, what makes him happy, is hearing from God, God's word. And if you read John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So Jesus Christ is the actual living, breathing Word of God in flesh. So if you listen to that and you think about it, what is it that makes us happy? Is God being revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Getting to know Him. It also talks about knowing His Word and having it such a part of your life that it you miss it when it's not there. Okay? When it talks about meditate in day and night, you know, when we hear the word meditate, we think of Eastern meditation, where you sit with your legs crossed, your fingers like this, and you go, home. Okay, that's literally, and when I say the word meditate, that's what you guys think of. Most people do. And in that form of meditation, what do they tell you to do? Empty your mind. Empty your mind. But in the meditation that it's talking about here, where it meditates day and night, it's talking about filling your mind with something. What it basically means this is that he hears the word, and he it's not just hearing it and forgetting about it, but he's constantly thinking about it. Now you think about this. When you meditate, I was sharing this morning that there are times that I will sit in the office and I'll be the only one in the building. And I'm not doing anything on the computer. And a lot of times I'll just sit at my desk and I'll stare at the window. And I will think about a particular scripture and I'll just dwell on it. Sort of like this. When a cow, it'll eat the grass. And it gets its fill of grass, and then it'll go lay down under a tree and get comfortable in the shade. And you sit there and watch that cow, and what's that cow start doing? Starts chewing that cud. Why is it doing that? It's because God has designed them to be able to get every single bit of nutrient out of that grass as possible. So it'll sit there and it'll eat the grass, but it's not done with it. As it starts to digest, they'll get it back and they'll start chewing it to get more nutrients out of it and make it easier for them to digest it. That's what meditation is for us. That we dwell on it. We just chew it and we get every ounce that we can get out of. But you know the neat thing about God's Word is this, is that you can read the same passage time and time again, and then one day God shows you something that you never even realized out of that same passage. You can continually get something out of it, even no matter how many times you've studied it. You keep dwelling on it and God keeps revealing more and more of Himself to us. That's what it's talking about that meditation. But then he says he doesn't just hear the word and forget about it, he thinks about it. Psalms 19:11 says this, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." Okay, and I've already talked about all this, the goal of meditation. Sorry, my tablet is being slow. Okay, so how is the righteous man is blessed? How the righteous man is blessed? Look at this in verse 3. It says, "He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers." A tree by a river has a continual source of what it needs. Now you think about this. Sometimes trees have very shallow roots. They're just beneath the surface. They may have a huge root system, but it's very shallow and it spreads out just beneath the surface of the ground. When we have a hurricane or something come through, and that water saturates the ground and it gets the soil wet and those winds come through, what happens to those trees that have the very shallow root system? Do what? That's blowed over. You may have a root system sticking up in the air 10 feet, but it wasn't strong enough to support that tree because it was very shallow. But the idea of this tree being planted by the rivers of water is that this tree, the root system goes deep. It just doesn't spread out, but it goes deep. That is the relationship that we should have with Jesus Christ. I hate to tell it to you, church, but we have a lot of Christians that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but their root system has very shallow. They have not grown in that relationship with Jesus Christ. They have not studied the Word. They have not learned to become one of His disciples. And their root system says just beneath the surface. And when storms of life hit, and we are guaranteed that they will hit, and they have that superficial root system and that superficial knowledge of Jesus Christ and the superficial knowledge of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, that when those storms of life come and those winds hit and those rains hit and everything, they get upended. This past week, there was an article posted by the lead singer of Skillet. Now, you guys may not like Skillet. It's a very hard rock, Christian rock band. But I'm going to tell you something. Every single time I've ever seen Skillet speak, the lead singer comes out and he's got a Bible in his hand. And he preaches the Word of God. And he shares the gospel of Jesus Christ every time he speaks. And what this article was about these Christian leaders, pastors, or singers that have walked away from their faith and turned their back on Jesus Christ and said, "I'm no longer, I have preached this, I have sung this, but I don't believe it anymore, and I am here now renouncing my faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't believe it. It's all a lie." And he said the same thing. that it's that superficial root system. They are not dug down deep into the person of Jesus Christ, and they don't understand what it means. And so when something new comes along, they go chasing it. But church, I'm telling you that this tree that's planted by the rivers of water, it's got a deep root system. And it's getting everything that it needs because of where it's located and where that roots are connected. This strong is strong and stable, sinking down deep roots. The life of the righteous man is marked by the strength and stability. The fruit comes naturally from this tree because it's planted by the rivers of water. Now look at this. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now where does that say that we need to have our roots? That we needed to be connected to Jesus Christ. He uses the example of the vine and the branches. And it goes on in this passage in John that it says, if you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cut off. And that you're going to be tossed away and you're going to dry up and they're going to be gathered together and they're going to be thrown into the fire. But it also says for the branch that does bear fruit, that God's going to do what to it? He's going to prune it, so that it will be able to bear more fruit. You know, growing up in Florida, we lived right in front of an orange grove. And every year, that orange grove would get pruned. They would come through with these big machines that went through the rows of trees, and it would cut. And they would prune those trees. Why did they do that? Do what? So it would continue to grow and produce more fruit. You know that a rose bush, that if you don't cut the roses off of a rose bush, what happens to it? It becomes a thorn bush. It just gets more thorns and more thorns, and the buds keep getting smaller and smaller. You've got to prune it. You've got to cut the roses off to get it to produce more roses. We're the same way, and God knows that there's times that we have to be cut. We have to be pruned. He has to work on us, getting away from things that we need to do away with so that we can continue to produce more fruit. The righteous man does not have these signs of death and dryness. Says that his leaf will not wither. You think about this. There's a tree out by my house. Part of the tree has got blooms and leaves on it. There's another part of that tree, nothing. One side of that tree is dead. The other is alive and flourishing. A righteous man flourishes. He does not show the signs of death and dryness. God brings something good and wonderful out of everything. It says whatever he does will prosper. That doesn't mean that you're going to be rich. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have hard times. But it means exactly what Paul writes in Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now look at this, the way of the ungodly. Look at what it says in verse 4 and 5. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Everything true about the righteous man is not true of the regards to the ungodly. They are not firm. They are not solid. They are not steadfast. They are not blessed. The ungodly are blown about by the wind, being unstable and lacking substance. You guys know what chaff is? Chaff is the part of the wheat kernel that as they are harvesting wheat, they put it in a basket and they would shake it like this and they would throw it up in the air. And the chaff is the outside kernel. It does not have substance. It is light. So as they're doing this, the wind would come through and it would push the chaff out, leaving only the actual wheat kernel in the basket. What that is saying is that the ungodly, because they do not have a strong root, they are not founded in the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of God, they are driven about by the wind. Whatever new way comes, whatever happens, whatever does, they are driven by that. They have no substance. They are superficial. My thing just shut down. Sorry, guys. Go to the next slide, Trey. Because the ungodly have no weight, they have been found lacking on the day of judgment. Now you think about what Daniel interpreted, that God's hand came and wrote on the wall. In Daniel 5:27, it says, Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Or you have been weighed and been found wanting. You have no substance. You are not worthy, is what it is saying. They will not be able to stand in the day of judgment because they have not been found worthy. But the righteous man, the man that follows Jesus Christ, that has put his faith in Jesus Christ, will be able to stand before God on the day of judgment. And he will look at him. And when he looks at him, he sees the seal that was placed upon him by Jesus Christ. And he sees the blood of Christ covering him. And he will say, come in. Come into my house. The way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The righteous can have peace because a loving God in heaven knows their way and will protect and preserve them. The way of the ungodly leads to destruction. They are on a broad path that may seem comfortable now and gives them lots of company, but in the end they shall perish. Just because it's the popular thing to do and there's a lot of people doing it doesn't mean that it's right. Shonda Pierce says that her grandmother always used to tell her that she was going to go to hell in a handbasket. When she'd get in trouble with a bunch of friends, she said Shonda wanted to know who was carrying that handbasket and how big it was. One will tell you that handbasket is huge. Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto the man. Just because we believe something, just because it's popular, just because it's accepted, does not mean that it is right. And church, I hate to tell you, but there's a lot of people that are sitting within the walls of a church right now listening to a sermon. That believe baptism gets them to heaven, that their name being on a church roll is enough to get them to heaven. But I'm going to tell you, church, that's not it. The only thing that gets us to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what gets us to heaven. That is what gives us forgiveness. Just because we believe something doesn't make it right. But church, it is belief in Jesus Christ. It is having that deep rooted knowledge of Jesus Christ that's going to allow us to withstand the storms that come our way. It's being like a tree planted by the rivers of water that draws its nourishment. We are that tree that needs to be sunk deep in Jesus Christ, and that is where we get our nourishment. That is where we get our power. That is where we get the ability to bear fruit. This is your chance right now. Are you going to be the righteous man? Are you going to be the ungodly man? David laid it out very plainly in these six verses. There is a drastic difference between the two. Which one do you want to be today? This is also your chance to follow the example of the young ladies today. That if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and you've never been publicly baptized and showing people what has happened outwardly of what has happened inside, this is your chance to come today to be a candidate for baptism. If you're looking for a church home, this is your chance. This is your opportunity to come and join with our fellowship today. Just follow your heart and what God is telling you to do. Don't leave this place without doing business with God today.
Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 447, Trust and Obey. 447.